your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, The Moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, and No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah. That was normal. I felt so good.
I felt so cared for and protected.
Supported.
I know we're recording our podcast now.
I'm like a comfortable bra. I'll just keep them up. Off to a really good start.
Really normal, yeah.
A great normal start. How are you guys doing this week?
Today was so gray and like rainy that the whole time I was like, why are we like in the world? Like, all I wanted to be was at home in my pajamas.
Oh,
but
God.
Yeah, the emails, I had to go send the emails.
I did think you meant at the beginning of why are we in the world, like, yeah, why do we exist? What is happening on this planet of ours? Who put us here?
When and for what's not us?
Isn't there a Vonnegut quote that's like, the great excuse that anyone can use is that we weren't asked, no one asked to be here?
Yeah.
It's like,
Yeah. I say that to my mom sometimes.
I didn't ask to be here.
Yeah.
Wow. Still.
And sometimes she says to me, if I'd known what it would be like in the future, I wouldn't have had kids. And I love it when she says that to me, actually. No, I literally love it. I was like, man, that's so real. You understand. Like, it's rough out there. She likes it because she's like, if I'd known in the 80s that they weren't going to deal with global warming, I wouldn't have had kids. It's very real, Mom. Well, that's a light note to start on. We did a bonus episode last week, and you can find it. If you missed it, you can find it on our normal feed. Anywhere you normally listen to our podcast, I think, you can find this bonus episode where we watched.
If you want to watch along, you can go to our Twitch and watch the actual video.
Yes.
Yeah, although you probably only have, I think it's saved for 7 days, so you have a few more hours. That's all Twitch lets you do if you're not an affiliate or something.
The hell?
No, I don't know, man.
But we have the video saved for our files.
I downloaded it. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. So if you want that hot file, just hit me up.
Shoot us a Gmail.
Distributing video files via Gmail. We're gonna get you on like a WinRAR situation.
It's gonna be mega upload, and it's gonna be in 7 parts.
And you're gonna try to find that download link. It's gonna take a lot of concentration.
Yeah, that's right. Wow, I miss that old internet. Wild out there, but it was free.
I think society was better when we were trying to download Heroes episodes, and it took like an hour and a half to download from Mega Upload. Like, was when life was
good. An hour and a half is quick, you know, on Mega Upload. Yeah. That's not like you're leaving your computer open all night to try to get full Buffy episode.
Oh, I used
episode.
To have to do that so much. Although I've done that more in wrestling than I had for anything in years. Slow seeds
out there.
Low seeds.
I know it. When I was pirating shit for the bonus episode, and I was trying to seed, like, these random-ass things, and I was like, I thought all these wrestle heads, like, had copies, but it's just one guy out there.
They're still exchanging videotapes, I think, the wrestle heads.
That's right.
FBI, oh, do not interact.
What an absolutely damning thing to say. Like, it's like you're trying to get someone into this, and they're like, can I get the stuff? And you're like, yeah. Low seeds, but it's out there. Cool. What were we talking about? Oh, our bonus episode. You can listen to our bonus episode. We watched 4 matches that we really enjoyed. We learned to love submission holds. But then I watched Grand Slam and I remembered that I love flips.
It was fascinating to come out of that bonus episode thing being like, it's not that I hate submission holds. It's just that I like don't like boring ones. And then be like, watch Grand Slam and be like this.
You guys are so funny because Brian Danielson does do good submission holds, I would say, generally.
It's a matter of opinion, I think. And most people's opinion agrees with yours. But no. I would not say that... Well, we'll get into it. We'll talk about Brian. The other thing, I barely know how to start this. By the time you're listening to this, the Social Suplex Network will have gathered on Friday. This is Sunday, or maybe later, depending on what's going on with you. We will have gathered and had a special YouTube Live event at which we will, I believe, have played some games, done some cornholing, normal usage, and announced that you can buy our merch now. Yeah. You can buy merch for us.
We've got real exciting merch coming out now. We got shoptees.com, chopped-tees, T-E-E-S.com.
Yeah.
Social Suplex Network right out there. All the shows have...
All the shows have beautiful merch.
And there's some for the network, too. And then we have our own special merch, and it's really cool.
We have our own special merch, and who knows what could show up there in future.
Yeah, we're definitely in conversations about adding to it. But in the meantime.
Conversations of backroom deals. go check it out. It's really, it all looks so nice. Dickie over at Chopped Tees did a totally amazing job with everything. Yeah. So,
and Lee and I have already received ours, and it's really God. That was not. I was not you trying to be mean
you
about
did say it.
It.
You did say it in a bit of a tone, and you did.
I did not intend to.
One of us hasn't ordered our merch yet. We're supposed to order it for the event on Friday, but one of us hasn't, and it's me. I'm the one. It's me.
I was gonna say is the t-shirts are really good. They're really soft, really beautiful. I got the little Tunnel Talk tumbler to drink out of, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I got the vintage brown Tunnel Talk shirt, and I got the Trish and Sarah baseball tee, and they're fantastic.
Yeah,
they're great. So
the beautiful quality.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully you too will enjoy our quality.
I will. Yes. I just didn't. There was a lot of pressure to get right on it. That's not me. That's just not me. And you guys know it. And I don't like it when you give me a look about it.
We do know it. You don't respond well to pressure. And that is okay.
Thank you. It is okay.
You're so valid.
Different people are different.
Okay, but hold on a minute. Can we not like validate people for not buying our merch while we're trying to sell our merch? Like, yeah, we're pressuring all of you to buy our... Well, not really. That doesn't feel good. But you know what I mean.
It doesn't feel good, does it? It doesn't feel good.
I just don't want to actively be like, it's okay that you don't buy our merch. It's not. You should.
I am going to buy our merch, but you should do it in your own time. You should never do anything not in your own time. Don't let other people pressure you to do things faster or slower than you want to do them. Do them exactly the way that you want to do them.
Yeah, I think I could stand behind that.
Okay, I would hope so. I would hope that you can. Well, is that all we have to say about our merch?
Do you think that was like a good sales pitch?
It's hard
so
to say.
We said both that the merch is great and that Allie doesn't have it and that it's fine not to have it, actually, and that some people think differently than others. And anyway, we have t-shirts now.
We love buddies. Our logo so much, so mm-hmm. we recommend, you know, if you like us and you like our merch and you like our logo, you can get it on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
But no one can make you. No one can make you do anything.
No, certainly okay? not.
Except us at our gas station, if you work there. But
even that, it's an exchange for money. There's not a slavery paramount. Situation going on at our pumps for us. Want to make it
and
very
clear.
And
if someone says, I won't do that, we say, okay.
Consent is king. That's what we
say. Consent is king, yeah. But yeah, totally it is.
Safe.
Sane.
Consensual.
It's written above every pump, you know?
The implication that so often people are watching the TV just being like, they can't have agreed to this, and then they look up, so, well, safe, sane, consensual, so. Which actually kind of is the overall feeling of watching wrestling. Well, let's get into it. Let's talk about wrestling, I guess. It was Grand Slam week. We're going to start by talking about, well, actually not Grand Slam. We're going to talk about how we watched Collision. We watched Collision, all three of us.
Congratulate
us. So we could
us.
Be informed.
Mm-hmm.
For you, our listeners. We did.
We do it all for you guys. So we watched because we had heard that Nigel had had some stuff to say about his Grand Slam fight with Bryan Danielson. He did a big promo that ended the show. That promo was fine.
It was totally fine.
Yeah. It was fine.
He tried to sell the match, which good for him.
This is his prerogative.
I feel like I could be like annoyed at Nigel because he does like sometimes annoy me on commentary. But I'm in such good charity with him on this because I'm like, he's trying. Like, he mm-hmm. wanted a match. He's trying to sell it to me. He's incredibly enthusiastic. He has the spirit. Is the execution, like, that good? No, but, like, I'm always going to give some points for trying.
Yeah. And it was a perfectly normal, serviceable wrestling promo.
Perfectly serviceable promo. I think it was funny because the other thing that I had mentioned here was that we did get, like, I don't know, a couple days ago or something, we got the road to Grand Slam, which I thought was an especially good road to. Like, maybe the best that I had seen in a while in terms of, like, being filmed nicely and contributing positively to everything that it touched on. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time they did, like, sit-down interviews with, I guess, like, ROH guys or ROH, you know, associated guys about, like, Danielson and Nigel's feud over the years, and it was the first time I was like, oh, I kind of understand what went on with them. I think I kind of get what happened.
Right. I know. I felt like, oh, I could get into this. Like, I don't know why no one showed me any of this on television that I watch.
I would have said a lot of it a lot sooner.
A lot of it a lot sooner. And I think someone told us today that basically, like, they kind of had a similar career, and then Brian lied to WWE and said his injuries weren't that bad, and Nigel did not lie, and so Brian got picked up and Nigel didn't. And I was like, well, that's quite an interesting little twist. Like, I get why they probably couldn't talk about that specifically on TV, but I was like, if anybody had told me that 3 weeks ago, I would have been more interested.
Yeah, that was Chris Gannon in our channel, and I also read that and was like, oh, that's really interesting. Because, and I get that it's, like, incredibly hard because you have to talk around the WWE thing, but it is, like, immediately gripping to have Nigel be like, I told the truth, and you lied, and you benefited, and now all everybody can talk about is that you're this good environmentalist guy that loves his family and is the best in the world, and everyone's sucking your dick over it, and only I know that this your whole career is based on a lie. That's fantastic. And I know, like, again, I get that it's hard not to talk about WWE, but I'm like, that's,
I feel like
I
you
would like
do
that
it. Yeah, without, like, saying it was WWE specifically, just being like, and I knew that Bryan Danielson had lied, but put in the context of, like, when other people didn't, like, this specific person didn't, and then your career took off. It's like, that adds an interesting wrinkle to that makes Bryan Danielson more interesting.
It's honestly kind of funny how exactly it's like an in-ring cheating situation, but with real life behavior. Like, it's kind of like a word problem came to life where you're like, oh, I didn't know that anybody ever was like driving 60 miles down the per hour down the highway in one direction. And someone else was going 100 miles in the other. Like, I didn't know that happened in real life. I thought that in the Road to Roddy did a really nice job of without saying any of that, getting at some of the core emotional stuff and being just like touching on the nature of Nigel's resentment. It was really, I really felt like, okay, let's do the Road Twos like this. I mean, they've done good ones before, but for some reason, this whole thing just really worked for me. And I was like, this is.
Effective. Well, it really, especially their section, it wasn't that long. It was like a minute long. I'm like, there's no reason why this wasn't on Collision or Dynamite. No. It's just very silly.
I'm interested. Sometimes this is the kind of thing where I'm like, it seems like such a no-brainer to me that you would have done this exact thing early, like a couple weeks ago on TV. They did do anyway, whatever. But I was like, I don't understand. Like, is there some reason that I don't get that you couldn't do that? I'm interested.
Yeah.
The match itself opened Grand Slam. Danielson briefly seemed like he wasn't going to show up, and Nigel tried to get the ref to count him out, but then the final countdown hit, and Danielson did come out, and they fought the match, and he won. Any thoughts?
It was fine. Again, like, I just remain in, like, decent charity because I'm like, it wasn't that long and it opened the show, so it was over right away. It wasn't a match, really, for me. There was moments that I was like, oh, that's really cool. But, like, for the most part, like, it wasn't one of my matches. But, like, it was over really quick and it was opening. So, okay.
Yeah. It was a perfectly serviceable match. I think if you weren't already into Nigel and Danielson, like, it wouldn't bring you on. Like, it didn't bring me on board.
It's not gonna get you
there, no. Right. And, you know, it was, like, not, you know, it's not like a Danielson pay-per-view match or whatever, but it was totally, yeah, it was fine. It was fine. Yeah.
Our energy right now could not be funnier. It was fine. It was fine.
Well, because, like, sometimes when I'm like, this match was not for me, I'm actually kind of annoyed about it because generally, like, it ended up taking up a lot of time and a lot of, like, wrestling discourse and possibly displaced one of my faves. In this case, it didn't displace anything I wanted to see more. It didn't take up a lot of space. The most of my complaints that I have with it are the same that I would have if I was, like, reading a book that had a weird execution that I'd be like, I want to talk to the author and be like, did you consider doing this other thing? But, like, they're really mad that it happened. That's okay.
Yeah. And, like, some people were really into it, and that's nice for them, you know?
Sure. So, sometimes I allow grapple heads to enjoy themselves.
You really have no choice in this world. After Danielson won, Christian came out with his, like, immediate match contract. I don't know what we're calling it. I know that it's a Money in the Bank style cash-in situation. And he was going to sign a little contract to be like, let's fight right now while you're winded from making love to Nigel for one last time. But Kip Sabian screedled out of the tunnel behind him and stole his pen. And then Christian, Tom, and Jerry chased Kip backstage to get the pen, I guess, only to be confronted with, I love that I wrote it, the imposing bulk of Claudio and Pac. And then screedled off away from them. Have they been interfacing and I missed it?
I mean, maybe a little. It's like the whole thing is like, I feel like they keep having these sort of baffling group interactions where I'm like, I don't quite understand what your all's deal is. Because, like, Christian had come out to face down Brian Danielson before and then had Pac and Claudio, like, chase him away before they turned on Brian Danielson. So that was sort of an interaction. But it's like, I don't understand why they're still mad at him now. You know,
well, they're saving him for Mox. Yeah, I think maybe. They're protecting him. They're like, you can't win this belt because Mox has to get it off of Danielson?
Oh, maybe. Question mark. Sounds plausible.
This was one of the few moments in my life where I was like, is this WWE shit? Is this what people mean when they say it? Because to be honest, this was the thing that made me annoyed when I was watching it, where I was like, I don't want to be seeing this. This is Looney Tunes shit. I don't want it. I didn't like it.
Yeah, but I felt kind of fond of Kip, honestly. I was kind of like, well, that does seem like what Kip should be doing is stealing people's pens at inopportune moments.
It was so weird. I thought it was funny. So, I was just too baffled to be mad. But I get how you get annoyed at it.
Do like Kip and, like, I want to see him be doing things. And so, like, it's fine. But, like, just the idea of, like, oh, no, I can't make my challenge because someone stole the pen that I was going to use to sign this fake contract. It's like,
it almost would be funnier if he was just like, what the hell? And then turned to Nick Wayne, like, do you have a pen? And Nick Wayne was like, yeah, and gave him one. You know, like, what are we doing here?
And then someone's got to come steal that pen. And maybe someone stole every pen backstage. And then we have a whole episode. The whole thing is just about how no one can find a pen. So they can't sign any of the contracts. So no one can fight. Book it for WWE NXT on wherever that is now going to.
The CW.
That's so sick. Like, the CW is actually a sacred institution. It shouldn't be, there shouldn't be WWE wrestling there. Like, that is that should be a safe place for horny teen shows. Horny teens played by 27-year-olds and up.
Isn't that kind of what NXT is, though?
Is it? I can't believe that. I don't know. Horny teens
played by 27-year-olds. I don't know. My impression of NXT is it's all horny 25-year-olds, but that could be very inaccurate.
I love your confidence, and I love that you have an idea of what NXT is, and I really don't. I don't know who goes there. Ethan Page? You think he's playing an 18-year-old?
Ethan Page, yeah. Doesn't Ethan Page look exactly like someone playing an 18-year-old on the CW now that you
he
think about it?
He does look like he could be like kind of like a bully on the OC or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you're right. That's so true. Okay, well, we got to the bottom of that. Okay, and then the show ended, Grand Slam, the show, ended with Mox Darby. So Mox came out looking so beautiful and booby, beautiful, beautiful chest hair.
His chest hair was looking great, wasn't it? Like, he's always got it, but I don't know.
Dude, he's glowing. He is alive with the promise of being a bad guy, I guess. I mean, he's just never looked better. I don't like what I did. All right.
To the listeners, the schedule this week is interesting. It has like a lot of digressions, and I'm sure I'll fix this later. So,
yeah. She had to babysit while she was during Dynamite, so me and Leah had to watch it without her, which was disgusting. And then she had to do the schedule while watching Dynamite. Oh, so my God.
So when you hear her take like a long pause, it's because she's written a note to herself that is not helpful in any way. She's trying to figure out how to get past it.
I didn't go in order. Like, I didn't go because I would be watching the match and then be like, oh, I'll just guess I have to fill in some stuff that happened on Collision. And I couldn't fix it because I had a really long day at work. And okay, well, let's just everyone pray for me. Okay, so just roll back some of the stuff I said. Okay, let's go back in time to Collision, which again we watched, where Darby fought Evil Uno, and I think he was like telling him to like man up because he's about to be recruited because a war is coming. It's like you're shipping off, baby. So you need to step up and learn to be a big boy.
I love this promo so much. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, someone in one of our group chats said that it was stupid the way that Darby's wrestling and his art films are stupid instead of the way that his normal promos are stupid, which was dead on.
Yeah.
And delightful. Like, he yelled, there's a war coming at Evil Uno, and I was like, what? And then they did kissing pose. I was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
I've got to be in the room where it happens, by which I mean the room where Mox and Darby have been talking about Mox's reign of terror, because in the Road 2, they also cut like a promo, or Mox was also cutting a promo where he was like, there's a war coming, and was just saying some puzzling riddle stuff about like, you don't even know what's happening here, like, you don't even know what's happening here, but I do, like, I don't know.
I do love when he sounds like a pissed off sphinx.
And so, okay, So then they fought, and that was a fun match. And then
it was very fun. I was very happy that we watched Collision to see Darby fight Evil Uno. I was like, that's a good time. Blast.
Yeah, that's true. I had a great time with that.
I always forget until I see Evil Uno again, and I'm like, oh, I actually really like the way he wrestles. He does a great job.
Yeah. Okay, so Mox comes out looking dishy, and he and Darby have an absolute bloodbath, blood and spit bath of crazy. A match.
It's so much grosser when blood gets so spitty and it's just bubbling out of Darby's mouth. And there was so much of it so early. It was wild.
And it was thick enough that I genuinely was like, do you think that it's like a capsule that he burst in? It was the first time I thought that because I was like, it's like a consistency like you don't really often see, especially because wrestlers are always taking fucking aspirin to thin it out. So I'm always like, why? I just kept being like, I think it looks fake, but I don't know.
The blood from his mouth or from somewhere else?
No, from his mouth.
I think it was just the thickness of his spit.
Yeah, it must have been.
Do you this?
Nasty.
I also think, like, you know, even as I say it, I'm like, Darby would never, like, taint the authenticity of his matches with fake blood. But, you know.
Because he wants to bleed. It would be like admitting defeat to be like, I'm not going to bleed, so I'm going to have to bite a capsule. That's not Darby.
Do you think he razor bladed his mouth or he bit his cheek on purpose? I know it's gross either way. I don't like it. Sorry I said it.
That somehow is one of the worst. The idea that he bit his cheek on purpose, I'm like, well, that's the worst thing that could happen. That's the worst pain you could endure. Worse than anything else that anyone has ever done in wrestling.
Well, because it's like then you just keep biting it, right? Yeah, like for the rest of the week, every time you try to eat something, you're like, oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so they have the match. And what else did you guys think of the match?
It was good. I mean, I always knew it wasn't going to be. It was one of those things where it's like these two people wrestle in a way that I find very engaging. So for them to do it together and they're both so fired up right now, like Mox, I really did get sick of Mox for a while there at the end. And like at the end of his last AEW, like before he went to Japan, like I was kind of like, I'm done with like Mox right now.
You were very open about it. Don't worry. It's not a surprise.
No, but like now, like he's back, he's fired up, he's interesting. So like with him motivated like that, I was like, yeah, of course the match was going to slap.
Yeah. And Darby took like some crazy bumps. He was like flying all over the place. And it's like, I mean, even for him, some of it was a little startling. And
oh my God. I know.
Crazy.
That thing where he got tossed into the ropes, but instead of just bouncing off them, he went through them and landed on the floor. Like my whole body like winced. I was like, Jesus. Ugh,
I know. Yeah. And they did like some deconstruction of the Marina Shafir pulled up padding around the ring and stuff. And then he like just did some stuff flat on the whatever that was, the hard stuff underneath.
Plywood?
It looked like plywood, but then it kind of looked like it fit together, like it was plastic or something. I don't know.
I have no idea.
It was weird.
It was crazy. I saw things in this match that I guess maybe I would say made me a woman, kind of. But then in the next breath, I called Darby my little Halloween pet because when he was getting choked out, and I guess it was because he was trying to get out, but he did this like grimace smile and he's frothing at the mouth and he just looked like, I don't know, like a little cartoon, like Nightmare Before Christmas flying squirrel is kind of how I would describe him. And like he was being like, hi, and I'm honestly, your new friend.
Like, because you screen capped it. And as I'm looking at him, like my dog really likes to rest her head like in the crook of my arm. And that's kind of like what it's giving me right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of obsessed with him. I think they should maybe make a plushie of this or something. What did you guys think? So Mox won the match. What do you guys think about the outcome? Anything?
It cracked me up that so many people were like mad about it. And I was like, you guys are always saying like people have to lose. And it's like, yeah, someone in this match had to lose. It's fine.
Yeah. And I was kind of like, I was I think hoping and maybe expecting like Darby to win and then like maybe win the title off Bryan Danielson. But then I know you're probably going to describe what happened after this, but like after I was like, oh, it's going to be Mox Danielson. I was like, okay, that's really horny actually. Like I'm very into that as an outcome. So I was like, I will permit it for me to get to see like Bryan Danielson, hopefully go out with an actual like horny build that he's putting some effort into.
Yeah. He certainly cared in the aftermatch angle. Like you could tell all of a sudden he was like, oh my God, I'm interested in this.
Yeah. It was like, and I think we were talking after in our group chat, it was like, has Danielson only ever like tried in, or like given any emotional energy to his feuds when it's Mox? And I think Leah had one counter example, but it was like, yeah, mostly Mox. And it's like, you know how some people, like they've been with their partner for a really long time and they don't even get horny for other people anymore. Like that's how Danielson's starting to feel.
I know exactly that because I watched Twisters with some of my local friends recently. And we got into a whole conversation about, you know, it's like celebrities that you're horny for. And one of my friends was just like, I'm not attracted to any celebrities. And we were like, you can't think of a single celebrity that you would like objectively just be like, that is a hot celebrity. You're a married man with a beautiful wife. Like, can you think of anyone that you just like objectively, you don't have to want to do anything. And who did he come up with? He goes, Tara Reid.
Tara Reid.
It's like, girl, that's
20 years ago. I mean, I'm sure she's lovely now, but I haven't thought about Tara Reid since 2005.
I was like, babe, we can't, I don't know how to engage with it.
Is that Tara like the last Reid? Celebrity who was famous before he met his wife? Like, what's going on there?
I do actively follow Tara Reid.
Do you?
She's not, I wouldn't say she's like aged well, I would say. Like, I'm really not trying to be mean to women. Like,
yeah. Well, Hollywood women, they almost can't age well because they get all the work done and then they look weird.
Well, everyone's getting all the work done now, so God,
I know, it's crazy.
God knows what's going to be happening in 10 years. Anyway, okay, well, the aftermath thing was that Mox won. Bryan Danielson ran out in a hoodie and strangled him with some kind of like a purple, oh, it was a necktie. You guys explained it. Thank you. Marina Shafir was trying to get Danielson off Mox. Claudio showed up, Pac showed up, everyone showed up. If you can think of a man, Private Party showed up, Commander showed up, and then Bryan Danielson, they got him all out of there. And then Bryan Danielson said, you said you wanted war. I declare war. In my head, I said, a thumb war.
I did the same thing. It was the exact cadence of 1, 2, 3, 4. I declare a thumb war.
And they're going to fight at WrestleDream. And WrestleDream is in, like, 2 fucking weeks.
That's wild. I can't realize. Onboard that. Yeah. It's crazy that it's almost October. Just
the other cadence that Bryan Danielson said, I declare war in, is the same as like Michael Scott declaring bankruptcy.
It's hard to declare things and be taken seriously, really.
It's true that it's like, what would have been like, what would have had some gravitas? Like, you could have been like, if it's a war you say you want, then a war you shall have. Don't say that, Bryan Danielson.
Well, even like, you say
a little bit.
But like, you could even just be like, you say you want war. Well, at WrestleDream, this is the battlefield. You know what I mean? Like, you could have said something normal.
Love and war. And somehow, you know what it was also giving? It was giving camp wars. It was giving it was giving color wars. It was giving red team, blue team. It was giving scavenger, all day scavenger hunt.
It's so funny to think of like the AEW as a camp that's doing color wars, and Bryan Danielson and Mox are the captains of their team that are taking it too seriously. And so Party is like, yeah, no, we're gonna do it. And he's like, no, we're gonna fucking die in this field if we don't.
I would love to think about Mox and Bryan Danielson being camp counselors that are way too into it. It's just a beautiful little imagine.
So happy.
I think maybe at Our Pumps for Us, we should have maybe a camp week.
Yes. Oh, for the tent camp.
Yes, they'll all have to live in tents for sure.
Yes.
For the grind set, as we all know.
We're going to have to buy some acres for this.
Do they have there's a lot of acres out in Wyoming. Wyoming, yeah.
Yeah, so, oh, perfect. Wow, I can't wait to do Camp Wars. That's going to be so fun. Anything else that you want to say about any of these guys that whose names I've now forgotten immediately?
I'm just very into it. It was crazy to watch Danielson come alive all of a sudden. It was like, wow.
And I think it's fine for Darby to have lost. It's not shameful to lose to Mox. Like, and like the thing is, the dumb thing he did already was like even fuck with his own title shot. So him like losing was not like people were like, oh, he's so stupid for giving it for like losing his title shot. It's like he lost it the moment like he put it at risk.
It's like he's so stupid. Stop. That's the character. The character. I don't know what that's to his tell whole thing. You.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. And losses don't really stick to Darby for me, but at all. Like,
no. And honestly, this is one of those things where I'm like, I feel like I can't judge whether it was a bad booking decision until I see what's coming. Because I sort of feel like there is a huge chance that like Darby then like, so Mox wins it off Darby. And then Mox wins it off Danielson. And then Darby is like, you stole this from me, totally. Challenges it and wins it off him. And that will rule. And so in which case, like, this booking doesn't matter because it's leading to sort of towards someone cool.
In that case, this booking is good because it adds a lot of heat for Darby then being like, fuck you, Mox. Like, you ruined my life. Yeah, that's great.
Exactly. So then it's like, but yeah, of course, if we don't see Darby again for 6 months, that would suck. But like, I feel like I can't judge right now. I kind of have to see what happens.
And I am kind of like, it just does seem like Bryan Danielson is an old racehorse, and he's only going to come alive for Mox, another racehorse. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he's not going to do the race. So I think we've just got to let him. We've got to let him have his companion racehorse out on the track, and we'll run that last race. I hope it goes great. He wasn't gonna perform for Darby way that we might want him to.
No. That's right. Yeah, and as for the booking, you were not compelled to form any opinion about this matter before you, nor to disturb your peace of mind at all. So,
I wouldn't say that saying seems to be catching on in the IWC yet. No.
Not yet, but if we say it enough times.
Maybe if we put it on a t-shirt. Okay.
I think Marcus Aurelius would love to be on a Tuttle Talk branded t-shirt.
Honestly, who knows what he would, what facts do you have about him? You know, like what kind of stuff was he into?
I feel like he could onboard the idea of professional wrestling pretty easy.
Oh yeah. He would love professional wrestling, obviously.
And
he'd
love our he was a Roman emperor. Sensibilities,
just because he was the philosopher king. I mean,
he still probably liked blood. I would have to imagine.
I mean, for sure.
And rat on a stick, and that's a joke for the bonus app for the bonus app freaks. All right, you want to talk about the Young Bucks serving cunt?
No, explain it first.
Not really sure I can. We did have at Grand Slam, we had the Young Bucks versus Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay. They were serving cunt because they knew they were serving cunt. I can't believe I've said it so many times.
I know. You're basically British now, I think.
When they came down the ramp and I was like, oh my God, I first saw his like pearls around his neck and I was like, oh my God, look at him. And then he turned his head and I saw the pearls studded through his hair. I fucking went into this like state, like hysterical, like writhing, screaming, like, like needed sedation.
Do you think he went to a bridal appointment at a salon and was like, give me the old updo?
But the effect, like, wasn't... This is what I appreciate so much about Matt Jackson, is that, like, he's never classy about it. You know what I mean? It wasn't really giving, like,
true. You're like, he bridal. Was a tramp, for sure.
It wasn't really giving bridal. It was, like, giving, like, girl going to, like, junior prom.
It was definitely a Claire's look, yeah.
Claire's crossed with a kind of a Cenobite look. Like, there was something a little scary about it in moments, but so beautiful in others, and it was so unexpected, and it's hard to know what to say when a man is always making, in wrestling, the exact right sartorial decisions.
Yeah, exactly, correct. And it's like, in times I'm like, you have walked out of my dreams. Like, I don't know what to say to you. I don't know. Like, you that would be something we would make a joke about, is be like, yeah. Oh, and the next thing he should do is put the pearls in his hair. Ha ha ha. No, he's like, I will do that.
We didn't even think of it either. No. It's beyond our ken. Yeah. Did you become a woman for the third week in a row?
At least four times, I would say.
Four times, wow. In the course of the match, you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you also become a woman about the fact that they were almost completely matching?
Yes, except for I did that like one that.
Stripe of color. I thought that was a really nice level of differentiation.
I like when they do a different yeah. color. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt a lot better. I've been feeling very like stressed and upset about like them wearing pieces from different gears. Like, I'm like, what are you getting different personalities next? Like, are you, I don't like it.
I do think it's like they're twins that the parents assigned one color to each of them,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And yeah.
Actually, my hairdresser one time told me that she spent her whole life thinking she looked bad in green because her mom always said green's not your color. But then she like wore green one time and people were all like, you look amazing in that. And she was like, Mom, why did you always tell me green wasn't my color? And she was like, no, green was your sister's color. Your color was blue. Like, I dressed you in those colors. I didn't mean you didn't look. What do you mean? Don't look good in green. It's like a lifelong misunderstanding. Incredible.
Crazy. It must be crazy to be raised as a twin. I'll say that. This match really fucked.
Oh my god. I was wondering what you thought of it, having watched it the next day, which, as we've talked about, watching wrestling in the daytime has an absurd effect.
Yeah.
But also, like, knowing that we all said it was going to slap, did that change it? Because while I was watching it live, like, I just got more and more insane, just being like, this is really good.
I think I probably had the exact same trajectory, except that, so I had seen that everybody was like, this match was amazing. Like, I'd seen everybody freaking out. I saw that Leah needed a cigarette afterwards. And so I did have a high level of stress going in. I mean, not a high level, but where I was just like, oh my God, I'm going to like it. And that makes me so nervous. So for the first couple minutes, it was the usual thing where it's like, okay, it's a little bit, we're just getting into it. But where I was like on edge more, being like, oh God, what if this is bad? Actually, is what I'm seeing bad? And then I forgot to be stressed, because I was like, oh no, it really fucks. Like, they really are doing so clean, crisp moves.
I'm in the warm bosom of the Young Bucks. Nothing can hurt me here.
Honestly, when you realize that they're holding you tight, you're just like, oh, what a relief to just be able to let go and just let them take me where they take me.
Yeah, and they're really good at, like, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just gonna say, they're really good at like building tension. Like, they did a ton of like near falls all in a row, which could have been like too much, but I was like really on the edge of my seat. Like, I think they just always do a good job of being like, I don't actually know who's gonna win this match. Right. Like, I think there's some people laying out matches, like the Young Bucks, like Kenny tends to do this, like Orange Cassidy, where you're like, oh, like the just, and Brian Danielson for me does it too, where the match tends to like grab you even when you're sure of the outcome and make you very like compelled by what's happening, which Will Ospreay, like, obviously he's really good at moves, but his matches tend to grab me less like that. So it was fun to watch him in this one.
Well, it was also just really nice. Like, I agree with you that the Young Bucks can make me nervous even when I know they're not losing. But what's fun about this one is that, like, I was listening to ONR, and ONR had talked themselves into being okay if the Bucks had lost the titles to Grand Slam. And I don't know if I fully agreed, but I saw where they were coming from. So I had that in my head where I was, as I was watching it, where I was like, they could lose it. So every time there was a near fall, I was like, is this it? Mm-hmm. Like, they did get me, because like, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities, you know?
Yeah.
It felt, I knew that they were going to win, because I hadn't seen anyone say that they lost. Like, I didn't even see anyone say they win. I was just like, oh, it would have been clear.
It would have come up.
And I still screamed at one point. Like, I was just like, oh my God, this is it. It just fucking rocked. Like, there were moments where I just was like, that move looked so good. Mm-hmm. I can't believe that anyone has ever told me you're not good. Young Bucks, they'll never make me hate you.
They can never. I do think the last two matches, they have bit, they've had a fire lit under them. And I do think, you know, every once in a while, like, they themselves will be like, we feed on the energy of our haters. And it did sort of feel like they saw someone that got under their skin say that they maybe were washed. And they were like, oh, fuck off. Because it's like a fire got lit under them again.
Oh, for sure. Well, I mean, they see everything. Nick slid out of the ring, or I think it was one of them. Nick was sliding out of the ring being like, we're the best tag team ever to do it. Matt was in the tunnel being like, apologize.
Yeah.
And then they're on their Twitter bios being like, many are saying we're serving God.
But they said, what cracked me up is they said we're serving C-word. That's so funny. I love their like, I don't know if we can say it.
It's also a thing of, like, they really need some, like, new good opponents. Because it's like, we haven't seen them wrestle these guys. And, like, these guys are good. And they have, like, the other team also has some, like, tag team chemistry and relationship going on. And it's not just, like, a match with FTR for the 300th time. So it's like, that was pretty exhilarating.
Right. Well, that's kind of what I was saying last week, where I was like, you know, the Bucks either fight the same fucking FTR match over and over again, or fight guys that they've beat like 1,000 times, and it would be nice to see them go up against people on their level. And as much as, like, I mean, Kyle and Ospreay are not destined for the tag team division. Well, I mean, hopefully Kyle's with Mark Davis, but like, that's not going to be a generational rivalry, but like, that was a glimpse of it. Cause it's like, these guys could go at their level. Like, they met their freak, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it made you be like, oh, fuck, we actually need that fucking Mark Davis, get back here. We need United Empire trios. Right. We need all the combinations. Mm-hmm. Like, I was in the middle being like, they have to come back. I have to see them wrestle, like, actual. That's the tag team is United. No.
Yeah. United. No, Aussie Open is.
Aussie Open. Yeah. I have to see them fight Aussie Open. Like, I'm sorry to drag him into it more, but it's like, if anyone ever tries to tell me ever again that it will be an amazing match if we get to see the Young Bucks FTR again, it won't. It won't. I'm sorry. We've seen it. They don't fucking, it's like, FTR don't deserve it, and they have lost with their malice and their ignorance. They have lost the magical chemistry that they could have developed over the years with the Young Bucks, perhaps, if they weren't turds.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think people have constantly tried to tell me that they have a rivalry, and I'm like, they don't have chemistry. Not the way that, like, not even the way that Ospreay and Fletcher had with them. No. You know, like, it's not.
If you wanted, like, an interesting match with the Young Bucks and FTR, which, like, God forbid, why would you? But it's, like, FTR would have to, like, totally reinvent themselves. Because, like, the Young Bucks are, like, always doing a slightly different character. Yes. Like, they have they turn heel, it's different, they turn face again, whatever. FTR has been doing the same thing the whole time I've been watching them. So, like. Yeah.
You know, that's funny, because actually, how many matches have they had with FTR now? 4 in their series at AEW. Have the Young Bucks had a different iteration of their gimmick every time? I think they may have. And I think...
quite possibly.
FTR have had two, what I would call two versions, maybe. If you say that first tag, or that first title match, they were like a slightly different version of themselves.
Like,
maybe.
Because they were heels?
Yeah, slightly. It's true. It is different, sort of. It's very minimal, but
I know it's what'd you guys think of the screwdriver cheating stuff?
I loved, like, I don't know, I just, like, I love Kyle and Ospreay doing their little acting, because it's so, like, it's hammy, but baby's hammy, you know what I mean? Like, baby's first hammy, where I'm like,
I liked it. I was like, it is hammy and it is over the top, but it didn't feel like it slowed things down. Cause I was trying to think, like, why is it that sometimes, like, a shenanigans at the end of the match are like, okay, this is a bit much. And sometimes they're not. And I was like, it just still feels like it's going really fast. It all happened really fast. Yeah. They made decisions really fast. And then they just did a little kind of like post show. I liked Kyle and Osprey, like, looking at each other, like, trying to communicate with their minds, like, did we do the right thing? Like, what? Who are we? And what will Don do to us? Yeah. He might throw you in the dungeon, boys.
I really liked it because it was, like, this, the tension between, like, Kyle and Osprey and how, like, bought in on Don they are and how they feel about it, you know, and just, like, that, like, they really love each other, but also, like, they've got different sensibilities and moralities right now, and then the Bucks are going to clobber them with a belt.
Yeah, they're on the same page about it. Well, and they, I mean, they did, they had built, you know, it's like they have done good moments with mm-hmm. Kyle and Osprey until now, where they're
a good continuation.
Like, giving each other looks about, like, is, what's the deal with Don? Is this okay? Is it not okay? Mm-hmm. So, I honestly, I think this is, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I did too. And it's, I mean, it's kind of like, I think that they're struggling with the fact that, like, the stupid wrestling law is sort of like not all cheating, like, is always wrong sort of thing. So it is like this, I don't think they ended up executing, like, Will's dangerous move exactly right. But, like, I don't, like with the Nigel thing, I'm always going to give people points for trying.
Yeah.
And so they're clearly trying this here. And I'm like, let them tell their little story about how they learned morality on the ground.
it does just kind of work for me. It's like, what are you going to do? And then, so this is just general tag team division stuff, we assume. We had Prince Nana come out with an update on Swerve, letting us know that he's not cleared yet. And he got interrupted by New Man MVP, who is ex-WWE and whom we know to be associated with the Hurt Business, who are a tag team, two men who fight together. And I'm nailing it. And MVP called Swerve the greatest wrestler ever to step in the ring at AEW, but he said he doesn't have good management, and he asked Nana to give Swerve MVP's card. So obviously we're getting teases that the pretty big tease that the Hurt Business is coming in, and that's going to be a new tag team. And then I also flagged here that we had that promo on Collision last week or a couple weeks ago or something, where Stokely Hathaway was like pawing through DVDs of like the greatest tag matches at AEW and then like put one of them on to play. And then, so there's a number of like, there's stuff going on in the tag team division. Any thoughts on this?
I had an instinctive negative reaction to the Hurt Business only because people kept being like, there's going to be a team debuting in the gauntlet, and it's either going to be Motor City Machine Guns or the Hurt Business. And I was like, well, if we're pitting two bad bitches against each other, I want the Machine Guns. But obviously nobody debuted. And so now I have to recalibrate a little bit and be like, I actually don't have anything against the Hurt Business. And if we've already lost the Motor City Machine Guns, then, you know, I do I want WWE guys? Probably not, but I actually like Ricochet now, so I guess good WWE guys are fine, and the tag team division does really need help, so my decision won't be reached at this time.
Yeah, it's very like, we do kind of desperately need new tag teams. I understand that they're too old, but I also understand that they were probable victims of racism, So like, you know, I'm happy for them to get a shot somewhere that might be a little bit better. And they could be fun for all I know. So my heart is open.
This is a moment when our approximate knowledge is not going to get us all the way to where we would need to be to make a decision. I do have a problem where one of these men is called Bobby Lashley, and I think that does make him sound 80, the same as Randy Orton. I'm like, well, he's dead. He's from a Trixie Belden book. Like, he can't come wrestle for us. He's too much too old. His name is Bobby Lashley.
And I did look it up, and they are, like, in their late 40s. Late 40s? Like, how old is too old? And late I was like, oh, this, 40s? Yeah, like, 48, 49. Yeah.
Shut
so
the
they are kind of too old. Yeah.
But,
I wish their listeners could see our faces when you said that. That has, I thought maybe, like, 40.
Yeah.
I thought maybe 40.
No. They're more late? In the, the Cope Christian range, which, you know, I enjoy Cope and Christian, so it's not necessarily a no, but also...
Well, that makes me nervous, because I'm like, are they going to go at the Young Bucks level? Because we already have a lot of tag teams that the Young Bucks carry. Oh, God.
I don't know.
Okay, well, that just...
Oh, God.
I'm sorry to have brought you such bad news. But Cope and Christian can go, you know, so it doesn't necessarily...
Well, if I'm going to watch old men fight the Young Bucks, it should be Cope and Christian. It can't be new men.
Cope's leg is broken. Forget about it.
Oh, God. Okay. All right, Anne. Well, okay, Anne, thank you for your service.
Thank you. Thank you for thanking me.
You're welcome. And we also saw Jack Perry driving his bus. Let's just think that we better move on. Although maybe...
Can we say very briefly that the MXM...
AEW
episode was the greatest thing that I've ever seen.
Oh, my God. And they're so funny.
I am like, can we give them the tag belts next?
No one has ever pandered to us so directly, and I loved every second of it.
To watch these men say the words literotica, like, while making eye contact with me...
I haven't watched it yet.
While sitting on one another's laps?
I'm too overwhelmed. I'm too stressed. I'm like, I need a moment. I need a few months to work up to that. I like them very much. It'll just be very interesting to see what happens next. Because we've introduced new tag teams. We got Grizzled Young Vets in there. We got MXM in there. I'm like, okay, they need to come fight Mommy's Young Bucks now.
Yeah, well, they need to stop orbiting FTR, because FTR isn't doing anything for them.
FTR not doing anything.
I think, you know, the thing that, like, people have a hard time, like, nailing, I mean, some people nail it, you know, remember we talked about when Swerve debuted, he walked onto the ramp and taught us his catchphrase and made it clear who he was, and then walked away, and we were like, oh, we're big Swerve heads now, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that is something that's so important when anybody debut, where it's like you really have to make it clear, like, what your personality is. And I think, like, FTR is so bad at, like, giving people space to do that, or giving people, like, a match that shows that off. So it's sort of like all of these, he's forcing people like the Outrunners to wrestle an FTR match instead of FTR being like, this is a showcase for these new, like, for this new tag team.
Yeah, and you're certainly not going to get to show off your personality in promos against FTR, so...
Oh, God, no. Yeah. I'm like, when was the last time... Well, no, I can't even get into it. But, no, that's totally true, and it is, like, their vibe, FTR's vibe often is, like... And what a boost it'll be for you to be in the ring with us and to, like, get the rub. And it's just like... Okay, I can't do
you remember the thing that, like, when the Colbert show was on, he used to say, like, ironically, and be like the Colbert bump, where he would, like, get people that were, like, legitimate celebrities on the show and be like, I'm gonna make you famous, and they're like, I'm honestly, no. Like, but, like, he used to call it the Colbert bump, and he would say it he would say it as if he was serious, and, like, that's what FTR does, is they're like, you're gonna get the FTR bump, but just by being in the ring with us. And it's like, no, actually, they've got a limited amount of time for the audience to make a judgment on whether they're happy they're there. And it's your job to give them, like, the space to make the argument, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the FTR bump. Yeah. FTR is always saying to people, like, what an honor for you to come and lose to us. You must be really excited.
Jesus God. Let's get him out of that orbit. One last question though, before we move on, actually, if you were going to recommend the next accessory for Matt Jackson to wear, what would you put him in?
Okay, wait, do you guys remember were like the black plastic lace chokers that
we're old.
That's we've been to a Claire's in the 90s.
That's what I like to see. I like to see him in a nice plasticky choker.
Oh my gosh,
Matt Jackson, if you're listening.
I know, and you know what those have? Well, a little bit of stretch too.
Yeah, you know, I like a man in the stretchy material.
For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world. From the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with the Moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com.
Hook and Roddy pre-gamed their Grand Slam match with a 10-man also match on Collision. Oh, this was Grizzled Young Vets Roddy Roosh, the Beast Mortos versus FTR Hook and the Outrunners. And we watched it.
It was so many men.
It should not have been one match. That should have been at least two matches, maybe even three, like, broken up. That was not a coherent match.
Yeah, and it should have been, like, a big multi-man like that is often, like kind of fast-moving and fun, and it's not exactly that this one was slow, but somehow it was slow.
It felt like FTR saw somebody be like, Collision never has any party matches. So they were like, fuck you, we can have a party match. But then they, like, forgot to throw the party.
Yeah, it was like two men wrestling slowly while a bunch of men milled around, and then they'd switch which two men it was. It was just like,
right.
And like again, a classic 30-minute boring Collision match.
Right. But again, like in a match like that, you often have these sequences where like the team that's getting the offense or like, you know, I don't know, they get like this moment where you're like, oh, this is the Outrunners moment to like make it clear who they are. And it's like, mm-hmm. That's how the match gets laid out, is that you like, there you move through like sequences where people get to show off their stuff, and it's like, I don't know, it didn't really happen. Not that I understand wrestling, but I'm like, this is just men like milling.
We and wanted honestly, to like, meet the characters in the musical, and we didn't.
No. Yeah, and honestly, like, I like most of the men in this match, so like it should have been fun. So it was kind of remarkable that it wasn't.
No. Well, I had a funny experience where I've always loved Roosh. And I think that Roosh is so fun, and I think he's a great wrestler. But I kept looking at this match. Like, I'd be doing something else, and then I'd look at it, and I'd be like, oh, Roosh isn't in the ring. I need Roosh in the ring. And I just started being like, my God, am I, like, in love with Roosh? Like, what's the deal? Like it's like, he's, like, the only man I want to see in the ring. And then he did do that great spot where I don't even know what happened. Like, it's like his shirt got magically ripped. I thought one second it wasn't, the next second it was just sliding off his oiled-up bod.
I think in some way he exploded out of it, and I was like, this is why it got like, I think he was like,
wow.
Titty.
Full could not be contained.
Full titty wampus.
And I'm like, that's why this man appeals to us. Like, this man understands us. He's like, I'm a fertility god.
My bosom cannot be contained.
No.
My body must be bare to the elements.
Whenever Roosh comes up, you guys cannot stop saying things about fertility.
I celebrate it. You know? I don't understand. You don't look at him and think, like, lush and fertile.
I mean, I can see where you're coming from, but
Anne's like, I don't want to know but them. But
I just picture, like, you want Roosh to visit your village because he makes the crops go and he gives, like, all of...
Excuse me.
He touches the women.
Yeah. I was like, I couldn't finish the rest of that sentence. I was like, he touches the women who want to get pregnant.
He makes the crops go. He makes the crops...
No, Roosh, find that fertility man that makes the crops go? Yeah.
You know how
Dionysus like, come into the village?
When the fields are barren, Roosh comes.
You know, when the crop no longer go, when the crop go god comes.
Yeah. You ever heard of the wasteland?
And he spills his seed all over the barren field.
That's right, yes. He plows the fields, if you will, and waters them.
Bursts into lush life. Ooh.
If we gave Roosh a pump, it would have to be one of those ones where you have to go behind a curtain and like, you have to pay.
It's a private experience. And you only go in there if you're ready to have children, you know?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, do you get pregnant just by watching the TV?
You do, yeah.
That might be it, I guess. This is an episode of like Supernatural. I mean, this is... We can't get into all that.
Yeah, I mean, I think in Supernatural, he comes to town and make the crops grow. I mean,
yeah. And you fool.
He makes them go. I'm so sorry.
He makes them go. He makes them go big and strong. God help us. Did we talk about this thing that you wanted to talk about, Leah?
Yes.
Is that what this was? Okay, yeah. Great. Wonderful. And then Hook fought Roddy on Grand Slam, and he won. And he and Roddy had, like, a hug or a handshake of manly respect, which I didn't see coming at all.
No, confusing.
And then Tony Schiavone said, in this city or whatever, many years ago, the FTW title was born by your father, Taz. What the fuck?
The things that come out of commentators' mouths and the phrasing, the syntax these men are using.
Can anybody tell us? I think we've gained listeners since the last time we asked. Mm. Can anybody tell us why commentary uses the syntax they do? Why they love to do this thing like the foot of Roddy is flying through the air?
They've never used a possessive.
Didn't someone at some point tell us that they put the noun first so that you, like, you understand that the elbow is the important word in the sentence? It doesn't really make sense for the belt. That was, was it your
theory? I think someone speculated, too. It's like, as it, because you're saying it as it happens, so you're like, oh, the elbow, and then you, like, fill in, like, as the elbow's getting hit. But like, no one's ever had
to still be doing this kind of thing when you have, presumably, you could have written it ahead of time. The FTW title was born by your father, Taz? You couldn't say, like...
Speaking of weird fertility stuff, yeah.
Well, because it's like... But it's also like, if you want it to be weirdly old-timey, you could be like, he was born of your father, which is more, old-timey. Born by your father is such an insane thing to say.
Like, something happens to your brain when you become a wrestling commentator. And I feel like I've asked so many, like, long-time wrestling fans, like, why do they always say, like, the knee of... No, they're like, they always look thoughtful, and then they say they do that. And then you're like, okay.
I just want to know, it's like, if you go to... If you are a first-time wrestling commentator, and you're showing up, like, bright, bushy-tailed... and cheery-eyed. Does someone say something to you about this? Like, do they say, like, oh, this is a norm for X reason, like, we do it this way?
Like, you get into your first match, and you're like, wow, Roddy's elbow really took some damage, and they're like, whoa,
No.
The elbow of Roddy, you moron.
Have you never seen a wrestling match before?
They're like, just take the normal sentence you'd say, and then let's just diagram it. And then just read
and then just twist it.
Weirdly diagrammed.
They're like, imagine you're in the Iliad, and you're speaking a language that is strongly declined, the word order to know what case the noun is in, and then go crazy.
Yes. Take the sentence, translate it to Latin, then translate it back.
Yeah.
At like maybe an AP level. Not right. That, you know?
Like, not fluidly. Translate it awkwardly back. Yeah. And then just stick with that. Yeah.
That's got to be it. I think we solved it.
Would that blow your mind if Taz replied to us and be like, oh, literally I do
that's
actually.
What we do, yeah.
I write down my commentary and then I translate it into Latin and then I translate it back. And that's what I say.
That would make a lot of sense.
Let me ask
this.
You something, Leah. Do you think that would blow my mind? Because I think that you know the answer is yes.
If Tony Schiavone, like, put the FTW title was born by your father, Taz, into Latin, and then that's what he got out of it, that honestly would make a lot of sense, because prepositions are always the hardest part of language for any, like, non-native speaker, because they don't map cleanly, so... That born by your father, you know?
I think we got
He's
it.
He's in first year Latin, so we got to give him a pass. But
Taz, you just reach out and let us know if that's right. Anyway, and then he retired the belt. And I don't really know why, but it seems fine.
Okay, yeah, I'm totally fine with it. It was a really sweet moment, and we don't need that belt, so that's fine. But it was kind of weird that they didn't, like, announce, unless I missed it, did they announce ahead of time that they were retiring the FTW belt? You'd think you'd do a big match.
Well, they had said some stuff. Someone said something in the press conference after All In. A Hook said something, or someone said something to Hook. I don't know. And then it was a bit of a thing where there's no facts in this story. Where Taz said something about it online, and my impression was then that they wouldn't retire the belt, but then I guess they did decide to.
Because, like, Hook walked over there with the belt, and he started just thanking people, and I was like, what is happening? Like, are we at the Oscars? Like, he's just like, I'd like to thank all my great opponents, the people who've really made this belt meaningful.
Oh my God, he stole Tony's gimmick. This is classic, men take from women. It's fine. I don't really, this felt to me like I was like, this might have, there might be some like wrestling significance here. Like people don't like to have belts for that are fake for too long or they go bad or it might be something I don't know here.
When
so.
Taz gave birth to the belt, he knew it would only live for 25 years.
Yes, yes. And then he would have to send it back to the realm of the gods where it came from or something of that nature.
Maybe Roosh could take it back there. Yeah.
Roosh could return it to the earth from whence it came. Roosh is going to take the FTW belt into a field, spill seed on it, and maybe...
And it will grow into a beautiful learning tree.
Or will it go into a beautiful learning
tree?
Oh,
beautiful. That's so... No wonder Taz was crying.
Yeah, that's
such
so lovely.
A sweet
He's
image.
He's going to have to have so many little belts. So many little belts. Okay, well, that was a good segment. Mariah fought Yuka Sakazaki at Grand Slam, and that was fun and fine and normal, and she won. She was wearing fur shoulder pads, and what I refused to write down, but I do remember, is that it was giving, like a Farscape comic about cavemen a little bit, but it's like, you know, that'd be very Gary Larson, where he's like, they're business cavemen, and she's like... It's the 80s, and she's got her fur shoulder pads on, and she's like, get out of here before I step on you or something.
So true, yeah. That's not sarcastic, but that's right.
After the match, Mariah was going to attack Yuka again, so Willow ran out to save her, and then Mina Shirakawa's music hit, and Mariah hit Willow while Willow was distracted by the music. And then let's just talk about, like, Mina's reaction and everything that happened after that. I'll kick it to you guys.
Yeah, Mina looked very, very much like, wait, what's happening? What'd you just do? Why would you do that? What's happening? It was so funny.
It cracked me up because even when Mariah, like, had her in her arms and was, like, spinning her, Mina was like, I just don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here.
Talking about that.
Well, it was great for it to be, because it's like, the normal thing would be that it was a purposeful, like, distraction and that Mina was in on it. And so then, like, she would be like, oh, we got her good. So I thought it was a very fun subversion to have her just be like, well, I just thought this would be fun and I thought you'd be excited to see me. I didn't realize that you were going to immediately do something evil. Of course, I'm still horny. I am still aroused, but I'm confused as well.
Mina just does such a good job of, like, getting her personality across and telling stories, which I feel like you really notice when someone, like, English isn't their first language, but they still manage to be really, like, charismatic and really, like, physically communicate a story. Like, Okada does it well, too, and it's just, like, I just find it really impressive, and I love Mina, and I'm so glad she's back. And I was about to go off to Japan to fight with Tony.
Yes. Well, someone has to explain that to me.
Yeah, well, so at that... And the promo that they posted online, I was losing it because Mariah was like, but it's so bad that you have to go back to Japan. Wait a minute. Why do you have to go back to Japan? And Mina went, nothing for nothing. Who cares? Nothing.
And
which
there
would be have, ruled.
What, yeah, has there so been funny. A promo? Sorry if I missed it. Has there been a promo like any promos like explaining why Mina and Tony are fighting together or like anything like that, or we haven't seen
it? I don't know if it's been on TV or if it's just been, I've just seen it like online promo in the match in this other promotion.
But they like someone, like we've seen people, not like just that we know that the match is happening, but has there been content around it? Like where you've seen a Tony promo or anything?
I don't think so, but I didn't watch Rampage. Okay. I don't think we've seen a Tony.
Okay.
I don't think we've seen Tony at all. I don't think we've seen one. No. But I did really like that Mariah called Mina her H-Cup angel.
Oh my God, yes. Wow. They really are everything to me. They're so good. Okay. Anything else about the lesbian, the math of lesbian quadrangles or whatever?
No one's going to like them.
Yeah, and Mina really is going to juge up Mariah's reign. I'm really not as down on it as other people were. Like, I think it's fine, but I really do think she's going to make a huge difference in how it goes.
Yeah, it's such a fun dynamic, and she really adds a ton.
And I'm interested to know what Willow's going to add to it, because, Willow is so attractive to me, and, like every time I see her, I'm like, she's a hunk, but she doesn't typically have, like, a huge, like, lesbian energy, and so, I'm interested to see whether she meets Mariah where Mariah's at, because that would be great.
Leah's like, Willow, can you hang with the big dog?
I really am, like... Is
Mariah going to pull her into a horny storyline, or is Willow going to pull Mariah into a non-horny
one? Oh, my God. Spin and spit.
Exactly.
I think this is our final topic that I truly don't know how much we have to say about this, but we did get a backstage promo at Grand Slam that was the conglomeration officially inviting Rocky to conglomerate full-time with them. Mm-hmm. And I was a little bit like, the last time you invited Rocky to join a marriage, it immediately broke up. So have you considered that he is not a safe person to...
I am advancing a theory that I'd like to see if I can get you guys on side with. Okay. And it is that Rocky Romero has been in love with Orange Cassidy for years. And
I immediately love it.
Following him through factions. Whatever faction OC joins, Rocky's coming after him. OC's never noticed.
I immediately on board that. That sounds, and immediately I'm more interested in Rocky, so that's
Do you
fantastic.
Think that Rocky is secretly purposefully sabotaging OC's other friendships?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah,
very jealous of Chuck Taylor and Trent. Yeah,
he's like, someday he'll stop seeking out new friends and he'll turn to me and
we'll be together when there's no one left. Because like OC is addicted to having like a named group of friends that he is in that he can wear matching shirts with and like feel secure.
Yeah, but now I feel like we're gonna see like Rocky like very gently inflame things where he's like, hey, Mark Musso, I heard that Kyle doesn't think chicken is that good, and then like all of a sudden things start to fall apart and it's like, how could this happen to me
when Kyle and Mark were so in love, or Kyle was so in love with Mark anyway, and then he's
who knows how Mark feels.
Yeah,
I feel like Mark knows, but he's like, not my
politely
business.
Ignoring it.
Like, he knows I'm married with a million children. Like, I don't know how much clearer I can be.
He wouldn't want me to draw attention to it.
I feel like Mark's a little bit like, he's welcome to join me on the chicken farm, but but I'm not going to the terror ship.
Wow, they really do come from two different worlds when you point that out. The terror ship has no place with the chicken farm.
But you know what they say, the farmer and the cowman can be friends, so there's a chance that we can merge these worlds.
Here's a question. Do we think that Kyle was involved in the eating of James Fitzjames, whose corpse was recently
found? Yeah.
I can only hope.
I did, when I read that announcement somewhere, Kyle was like, fuck, they're on me.
They're going to match my dental record.
Oh my God. You know what I would love if... it would be great, and this is, now I'm just making up so much stuff that's not real. It would be great if Kyle was missing one finger and always had been, and that finger was one of the bones.
He's like, my DNA is there! Wow. I would watch the hell out of that storyline. Time-traveling pro wrestler terrified that his remains are going to be identified at the terror ship.
It's like, could you imagine, like researchers find this finger bone and like it's like aged, like it's like it's definitely like decomposed, but they're doing testing on it and somehow it matches the 24andMe profile of somebody who's like,
it's a 100% match.
Yeah,
and they're just being like, well, that's impossible. Like that must be a mistake.
And Kyle's like, they're calling Kyle to be like, can we just talk? And he's like, you'll never catch me alive.
They're like, we're just calling because it must be some kind of weird mutation. Like the ancestor just passed it straight down.
Oh my God, yeah.
They're like, want to study him. He's immediately as weird as could possibly be. What are you accusing me of?
I didn't do anything.
I've never eaten a man in my life.
I wouldn't even know how to eat a man.
Well, we learned you start with the face.
Straight into the face.
It's actually not right. In fact, I read an interesting tweet that was saying that in most cases of cannibalism, they don't eat the face at all because it's too disturbing. So they must have been really hungry.
Really hungry. They were down really to the super last. Hungry.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
In the show, they start with the ass.
No.
Do they?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Well, I have seen the show, but I didn't remember that. Yeah. I guess it depends on the ass. How much. Different butts, different meat.
So true. Mark Davis, you definitely start there. So be careful when you come back, buddy. God.
It would be like eating the Mona Lisa.
It's like you couldn't start with that. It'd be like eating someone else's face. Like, too disturbing. Yeah, to damage it.
You have
it.
To choose between a face and an ass.
Maybe that's why James Fitzjames' face got eaten. They could.
There's an ass that was too beautiful.
It was his. Yeah. They have the choice to start. Okay,
he's a real man. I'm so sorry to any descendants of his that are listening.
Do you imagine if someone reached out to us and was like, "That's my grandfather."
I'm sorry, but it's just what happened / might have happened in our imaginations. how many percentage wise? How many of our listeners do you think are also, like, locked into the terror James Fitzjames Twitter this week? Is it fewer than we think? Like, to me, I'm like, everybody in the world has been following this, of course, and loving to watch the revelry about it.
Okay. Twitter started serving me those tweets, and I don't think I've ever expressed any interest in the terror.
Okay.
I'm going to make the Spotify poll this week. Did you know that James corpse was found before we told you?
I would bet that maybe at least 20% of our listeners were terror fans, though.
Okay. Oh, 20% of our listeners were terror fans?
Yeah.
Well, we're aware of this discourse, probably watch the show, too. I mean, I won't speak to how passionately they were into the show, but...
To be honest, we apologize to James Fitzjames, but it's not the worst thing that's been said about him this week.
Certainly not. That's and true.
What
was the tweet that you brought us, Anne, where it was just like, it is iconic, though? Like, he is the icon.
100 years later for a bunch of gay nerds to be celebrating that your corpse was found. They're like, it is a diva moment.
Major diva moment. My God.
A lot of people seem to be, like, brought to tears. I was a little bit like, guys, you might need to get a grip, but,
it's kind of like...
I celebrate your passion.
You knew
he
was dead.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's like, I mean, and the corpse, I think, had not just been found. Like, I think it was just identified. I mean, I didn't dig deep into this, but...
I don't know. Right, don't know
it's like he'd
details,
be dead regardless.
Yeah,
you know?
It's kind of like, we kind of knew, kind of knew what happened. It's like, for scientists, I guess I understand it, but for, gay little freaks like us, it's like, well, it's not the man from the show. It's different. They look very different, too. I looked at a portrait of him. I said, well, he didn't look like that.
I know. And my understanding from the many tweets that Twitter has given to me is that his personality is quite different in real life from on the show, so.
Well, that's what I heard from the official James Fitzjames biographer's account.
I think that's where I heard it, yeah. So the real James Fitzjames freaks are not. They want to make it clear that it's not the show that their passion comes from.
Who is a real freak? It's like that man is no more valid than any person celebrating James Fitzjames in their own way with their own activities.
Yeah. Actually, I just this week finished the book, The Ministry of Time, which is, have either of you guys read it?
I haven't read it.
It's a book where it's like they get time travel in Britain and this woman is like the person who has to help Graham Gore from the terror get assimilated to modern society. So it's I have some issues with the execution, but it's a fun concept. But so I basically just read some terror published fan fiction, I guess. And now week, it's very topical.
Nice.
Well, maybe that's why it served you the tweets. It could sense.
It was on my Kindle.
Bitch, they got you.
You got it.
That's how they fucking get you.
And I read some articles about the book too. So, yep, there you go.
Do you think that Mark Briscoe would maybe kind of have been like a fun addition to the terror crew?
He'd bring an energy to it.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't know if he'd either be like the first to die or the last, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he might have actually been able to steer them away from some problems.
Mm-mm.
Is that saying too much?
I think that if I had to guess, that he would have been one of the guys who got thrown off at Newfoundland for being too drunk and they're like the two survivors of the terror because they didn't actually make it into the Arctic.
They're like, we're sick of this word of the day stuff. You got to get off the ship.
And he smuggled a chicken on with him, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it'd be handy to have a chicken at a certain point in this expedition.
Yeah, but they didn't know that early on. You know, they probably did, actually, because I know I've told the story before, but I'm very into the Shackleton expedition, and this is like right after I was in college. I went to the IMAX theater in Baltimore, and I watched they were showing a documentary about it. And it was a really fun, enjoyable experience. And there was a family with small children sitting in front of me. And I'd read a lot about the expedition, and they had like really lightly in the documentary, they're just like, oh, and they had all these sled dogs. And then later in the film, they just kind of don't have those sled dogs. And, at the end of the movie, one of the children was like, Mommy, what happened to the puppies? And I was there with my boyfriend at the time who like didn't know anything about the expedition, and I was so excited. I turned to him and so quietly I just go, they ate them. They ate them.
It's so interesting when people like kind of gloss past it. And sometimes like in like World War II, like first person narratives and stuff, they'll do this
totally.
There was like a book like about World War II, like in the Holocaust that I read like as a teen. And it was basically like, oh yeah. And like in Amsterdam at that time, like, yeah, it was hard to get like supplies and food there. And when I got back, there were no cats and dogs in the streets. And as a child, I was just like, oh, that's, you know, like I didn't know what the implication was. Yeah, I guess there's no cats and dogs. And then reading as an adult, I was like, oh, you did not spell that out, but I get it now.
Wow.
Bummer. Real bummer.
I think this might be the deepest we've wandered into just kind of normal chit-chat time at this point in an episode where
Arctic expedition digression for some reason is what I'm gonna put
I all of a sudden
chapters.
Was like, oh god, we're still recording. This is still our podcast.
Quick, everybody name your favorite of the polar expeditions. Donner Party, anybody?
I have to find this. No, we can't get into it anymore. But it is, if you can go read that Wikipedia page about the Donner Party, it will keep you occupied. It will keep you occupied.
I don't really know anything about Shackleton, so I'm excited to get into that.
Oh my god, you've got to! It's a real barn burner of the story. It's kind of like there's a lot of feel good elements actually, but then there's kind of like a darker, more philosophical feel bad element at the end. Wink.
I think there's a documentary on your hard drive.
Yeah, there is on.
Oh, nice.
On our shared community streaming service.
I've almost watched it a few times and then been like not quite ready.
Not
what's it
quite
called?
Ready.
Is it under movies?
I think it's probably called Shackleton.
You can
what
tell
was
me
the name
off
of the ship.
Air,
it's
I guess.
Like the Endeavor or something. I think it was the Endeavor. Okay. Yeah, I'll tell you. You know what? I'll tell you.
I'll take my answer off the air.
There was something else I was going to say. I'd love to just get some insight into OC's mental health soon. I'm worried that he's healing, which is the last thing I want for him.
I know. He seems to be healing. I mean, he did make everyone leave so he could have a moment with Renee at the end, but it wasn't even a very sad
moment. I wanted
to
see him whisper, like, I'm so sad. I'm dying inside.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I know. It's really concerning. I really am sick of Trent getting hurt every time Best Friend starts to have a fun storyline.
No.
Well, he's probably sick of it too.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not thrilled about it.
Greg, we miss you.
We miss you.
Dustin, we miss you.
A lot. Get your surgery, Dustin.
Oh my god, please.
It's fall now. He's gotta get it.
Listen, we would never ask, you know, but if any insiders out there, if you know if he's gotten this surgery, Just shoot us a line. Just yeah. You can just tell us anonymously on Tumblr.com. Yeah.
On Tumblr.com. Send us a little. That's demoralizing to tell them you have to come to Tumblr.com and send us a little message.
It's the only social media left that's truly anonymous.
Yeah. It's the only safe space for people. It's like we're not trying to pry into his business. We don't need to know anything except like has he gotten it? Yeah. Is he fixing this?
If you wanted to throw a little prognosis in there, that would be okay too.
That would be okay. Well, but we don't want to, we don't want to overstep.
We don't need exactly. Just purely in a professional sense.
Listen, we're professional podcasters.
We're building a business around them. We need to know.
Is our gas station sunk before it's even started?
What's going to go on pump one?
I realized today that Kenny has his special milk pump. But then when I was watching the Bucks match, I was like, well, they've got to have a special pump. And then I just thought so seriously. I just go, we need more pumps.
I did drive past the gas station today and I was counting the pumps. And I was like, you're right. There are more than six. So especially if you count.
Well, someone in our Discord was calling us coastal elites for specifying gas stations with six pumps. They were like, how big are your gas stations? I don't think that's many pumps.
Well, I think it's a Midwestern elite thing too with the size.
I do. Because I think that's the most, to me, I'm like, I understand that, I've driven through the wilds of Pennsylvania before. Of course, you go to a gas station where it's just like two pumps and they don't work. Like, I get that. But most gas stations, it's like, I think they come this way. It's like prefab. It's one, two on either side. One, two. You guys can't see this, but they can. One, two, one, two. Like, that's like the most standard. Yeah. It's hard to go beneath that in the Midwest, in my experience.
Yeah, it's true. I just saw, I got a Gmail notification. And I thought maybe somebody's already emailed us about Dustin, as though we were live on the air right now.
We're high on our Twitch experience, and we're like, the people could be telling us anything.
Yeah, look, check the chat.
I will say to anyone who hasn't listened to the bonus episode yet, the thing that you will find most fascinating about it is that we ask questions, and then very shortly thereafter, we simply receive answers. Like, we'll just say, like, Doc said X. Like, oh, so-and-so says that it's X. It was honestly, disturbing almost the first time.
We're so used to asking questions into the ether, into each other's empty brains. Yeah.
So that's something different. Like, when we don't know something, often we simply learn it in this episode.
Yeah. Instantly to forget it, but we did learn it.
Yeah,
I'm never forgetting the facts I learned about working snug.
No, that one's gonna stick with me for sure. Yeah,
no, we won't be forgetting that anytime soon. Chris Jericho, we're coming for you in your DMs, buddy. We got a few thoughts for you, Mr. Jericho. Okay, surely this is. I can't believe we didn't end this episode.
Like, three quarters of the way through the episode, I thought, we are being so much more normal than last week. Like, look at us go. We're having a serious podcast episode.
The last 15 minutes, I think it was fairly normal up until the last 15 minutes. And then it was like, well, we've lost the plot.
We were going to end early, honestly. I was like, how is this the shortest episode we've ever done?
Can I make an official apology for something I said earlier in the pod?
Yeah.
So you asked me, Allie, what accessory I'd like to see Matt Jackson in next, and I answered, and the answer I should have given was no shirt.
Oh, is that now? Is that that's kind of a trick answer? Yeah.
But I had the opportunity. I had the opportunity. Yeah. And I didn't take it.
You should have said the accessory I want to see is birthday suit.
Birthday suit. Yeah, that's what I should have said.
Wow, and now you'll never get it.
Now I won't get it because the genie doesn't take free dues.
No. He's going to come back. He's going to come out next week. He's going to be wearing the choker and you'll be like, dang.
That's what I got.
What if you had said, and this is pushing it a little further, this is kind of crazy, the accessory you most want to see him in, nipple ring.
Oh.
Who is it?
Well.
Was it Seth recently? Was like, what if he got pearl nipple?
like tassels, even. Yeah.
That's really the only way to escalate it at this point. It's like earring, nose ring, nipple rings. Yeah.
So, any insiders, done telling us about Dustin,
yeah, just pass
just
that
let
along.
Us just know if Matt Jackson has pearl nipple rings secretly.
and the interns listening are like, no. you need insider information for that?
The insiders are like, we don't have to go on Anon to tell you that.
They're like, I'm happy to put my real Christian wallet name on my answer of no. Is there any chance that he already has pearl nipple rings?
Is he getting pierced right now at a Claire somewhere?
Well, that's where Nick got a little, back when we still got to see him on BTE, we got to see Nick getting his ears pierced at Claire's. So if they were going to get him done anywhere, I bet they would go to Claire's. They're Claire's guys.
That's why they're the greatest, you know?
They're just Claire's boys.
They're Claire's boys.
Just a couple of good old-fashioned Claire's boys.
Do you guys feel like we're filibustering now? Like,
I don't want to leave. I'm, like, addicted to terrible podcasting, to digressions. High on last week's episode description.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. Did I, I'm hot. Did I fail to let you talk about something you wanted, anything you wanted to talk about?
No, they failed at stopping us from talking about these weeks.
Our hater is like, stop letting them talk.
Our hater turned it off.
Well, I hope so.
No, they can't because of their passion. Yeah. Sorry. They're still here and they're like, God damn it, end the episode.
They're only listening for hints about where Leah's house is so they can come burn it down.
They're like coastal elite, knocking it down, like narrowing the field.
So you really have said everything that you wanted to say, and there's nothing else you want to say, that there's nothing at all that you just feel like you didn't get to say. You don't want to chit-chat a little more.
Are you guys so excited for our stream tomorrow and all the Ask Me Anything questions and how, like, it's going to be, like, us as the goofus of the chat and then, like, 10 gallants on there? Which wouldn't be a bad comic strip. You know, they're like, Trish and Sarah always count the ad breaks, whereas Tunnel Talk says that Dex should fall in a pit full of alligators and they don't even cite a single source.
I count the ad breaks now. I count stuff like that there were two picture-in-pictures during the Young Bucks match, and I typed in our schedule, Tony Khan will not see the gates of heaven. The virtue is not rewarded in this world. Being the best is not rewarded. It's not a reward for me, because if you're the best and you hold the demo, then you're constantly cutting away from the match that I want to enjoy.
Can you even believe that we say things like hold the demo seriously now? It's disgusting. But it is what it is.
Oh, she just stayed here talking all night.
Educated.
I have to pee. Can you end it? I have to pee.
Fine.
Please.
Fine. I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
Ugh, and Tunnel Talk is over for the night. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, along with a lot of other great podcasts. You can find our merch at choptees.com. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord, where we're in there laughing and riding and cornholing day in, day out. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay snug.
Wow.
And please, please, please come back next week. The end.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.